Can you first tell us who you are and talk a little bit about what Occupy Sandy is and how they got started?
Yeah, my name is Nate Kleinman, N-A-T-E-K-L-E-I-N-M-A-N. So Occupy Sandy started pretty soon after the storm hit in New York with some Occupy Wall Street organizers.
Got in their cars got in their friends' cars and
drove to the hardest hit neighborhoods and started helping out. They started facilitating relief efforts in out of churches and storefronts and wherever they could find a place. In New Jersey, it happened about a week later. I had been in Philadelphia, and I was watching my comrades in New York doing such an amazing inspirational job, and I started thinking about New Jersey and trying to get there, but I was told on the news that most of the shore towns were completely cut off, that there was a curfew, you weren't allowed across the bridge unless you were a resident, maybe, and you know, it did not seem like it was going to be very easy to get to most of the places, and it was a little while before we realized where the hardest hit communities were, and realized that there's like such an economic dimension to this storm that, you know, while the mansions on the shore got the most attention and make the best photographs when they're all busted up, you know, the real devastation is for somebody who's living in a manufactured house on concrete cinder block and got, you know, 2 feet of water in there and now has moldy insulation and is getting sick. You know, it's so we realized that we had to do something and so we started having conference calls for Occupy Sandy, New Jersey. I'd been working with InterOccupy and learned how to use this Maestro conference system, which allows for democratic decision-making on a conference call. You can have everybody on mute, or you can take votes, and people can raise their hands and support something that's been said, or they can press 3 on their phone to basically down twinkle in Occupy speak. And so we have basically Occupy-style meetings over the phone. And we started doing that in New Jersey every single night at 9 p.m. for weeks after the storm. And it was quite some time before we dropped down to 3 calls a week and eventually 1 call a week. And we only recently decided to move to monthly calls because we do, you know, so much of our organizing online. And everybody, you know, we've become a pretty autonomous network of individuals, or a network of autonomous individuals. It's been really an amazing experience. I did not expect I wouldn't have thought I would find myself having devoted 14 months of my life to, hurricane relief in my backyard, essentially. But that's what's happened. So, yeah, this storm came in, and it was, you know, bigger, I think, than anyone anticipated. You know, there was great loss of life and lots of injuries, and lots more property destruction. People lost their homes. People lost their cars, people lost their jobs, and in a lot of cases, those things haven't come back and they're not coming back.
Right.
You know, and for people who have money saved up and people who have a steady job that they didn't lose, you know, it was bad, but it could have been worse. But for people who were already struggling in any way, this hurricane was, you know, enough to push them over the edge in many cases. And really, for so many people, The last 14 months have been a nightmare. They've been promised help so many times, but it just doesn't come. And, you know, in Occupy Sandy, we've been doing our best to help as many people as possible, but we are not a lot of people. And in New Jersey, we've never had more than $300,000. That's been our entire operating budget for the last year and a half, almost. So that's, you know, there's organizations like the Red Cross raised over $100 million on Sandy, and yet, they have a very little presence on the ground, and so many people were promised things by big organizations like that and never got them. But, you know, most people think about Sandy in New Jersey as being something that hit the shore, but it was really, a lot of the coastline of New Jersey is not, quote-unquote, shore. It's bay shore, or it's marshland, or two of the hardest hit communities are two mobile home communities in Moonaki, the borough of Moonaki in Bergen County. And those are off of the Hackensack River, which, because of a body of water that goes through Newark, got a huge storm surge. And, even though they're like north of Manhattan, people don't think of those parts of New York, of New Jersey, being the shore, but because so much, the Meadowlands and so much of that area is watery, those places got really quite damaged as well. And they got the least attention in the recovery.
Right. No, I remember, I think it was last winter or something, going out to this warehouse in Philadelphia where people were sending in donations for Sandy survivors, and there were boxes full of clothes and toys and all sorts of different things. And I remember we were talking about at that time, you were waiting for money to come in from, I think it was from FEMA or some federal agency. And I'm not sure if it had come, if the money had been dispersed at that time, but like, how much money has the federal government allocated to these survivors? Do you know that?
The federal government, I don't have the total on the top of my head, but it's billions and billions of dollars.
Right, it's a lot of money, yeah.
But it comes out in trickles. It feels like. They release a billion here, a billion there, and they release it to the state, and then the state has to determines where it's going to go, and that's where a lot of this scandal has been recently, because it's federal money. It's the main source of recovery aid is federal funds, but it's completely administered by the state of New Jersey.
Right.
And so all of the ridiculous, all of the corruption and all of the BS in New Jersey politics is coming into play in Sandy Aid. And, that's really a problem, because, when you hear an entire city is being held hostage in Hoboken, unless the mayor supports a redevelopment plan that the governor wants her to support, I mean, that's just bullshit.
Right. Let's talk about that for a minute, because I think some people may have heard about Chris Christie closing down, or his staff closing down some bridge lanes recently, and this caused a big scandal, especially on the mainstream media. And yet people are not really aware of his role in mismanaging the money that was supposed to be dispersed to Sandy survivors. And actually, the day that we got down there for the encampment in Trenton, can you talk about what happened with this mayor of Hoboken and how that plays into this?
Yeah, we were planning this action before this story broke. We came up with the plan after after the story came out about the governor overspending on the to a politically connected firm to make an ad that looked a lot like a political ad with federal money to encourage tourism after the storm. And we thought that that was a big enough scandal to warrant this action, especially combined with we actually didn't even include that in our initial press release, because there's plenty of other problems that you know, that he could get in trouble for, namely the stark disparities based on race that are really clear in numbers provided by the Christie administration after a lawsuit from Fair Share Housing. They showed that for resettlement grants, for instance, I believe it's 14.5% of white applicants were rejected. That's 14.5%, but 38.5% African Americans were rejected, over twice the rate. And the number for Latinos is somewhere in the middle. It's really unconscionable that this has happened here in New Jersey. And when the governor was confronted about that after Fair Share Housing put out the report, he called the group hacks, and he said he would not. He told reporters that they are on notice. He will not answer any questions regarding this story or this hack organization. You know, and Fair Share Housing has been fighting for poor and working people in New Jersey for decades. You know, they are a really venerable institution in this state. And so for Christie to dismiss them so out of hand and expect the press not to dig deeper into the story is just, it's just ridiculous. So we've been, since that came out, we've been knowing that we had to escalate. And after the story about the ad came out, we decided it was time to go. The governor's only going to be re-inaugurated once, if at all, and that's happening on Tuesday. So we really wanted to. We didn't have much time. We would have, you know, if we'd had more time to plan, we could have had more people here. But 48 hours was enough to make national news. So we're on the right track, I think, and it's only Sunday night.
Great. So what's your plan for the next few days? I know you're trying to get some of the Sandy survivors or people who are still waiting for aid to get up there and have a speak out. And so what else are you trying to do?
We're having a speak out on the inauguration day. Half an hour before the inauguration, we're going to start our event. And the idea is maybe the governor or some of the people coming to his inauguration will hear, and that the press will be listening, and to really give Sandy survivors a platform, an opportunity to speak. We're also planning a press conference tomorrow just to talk about the action, about the plans for the rest of the week, for Tuesday, and to bring the press to us, give them a time to come, and just to have a chance to sound off on the issues.
Cool. Now, my next question has something to do with Occupy in general, because I remember we were sitting out there, and some people who would come by were like, "Oh, Occupy's back," and they seem kind of really excited to see that, and people seem to really have a sort of almost like a hunger for something, for some kind of movement to, you know, reignite. And one thing that struck me about this situation is that there is a concrete goal. There's something that we can latch onto, and there's like a villain almost in the figure of Chris Christie. So how do you think this situation right now compares to Occupy before, and do you think that Occupy will have any kind of a resurgence based on what's going on right now?
Oh, you know, that's a really interesting question. I love to speculate on it, although I spoke to an Al Jazeera reporter today, and they asked a similar question, and they asked, you know, what we thought if this would have an effect on activists elsewhere or something, and I said, you know, maybe it would be, I hope that by standing up to a bully in Chris Christie, we will embolden others to stand up to whatever bullies they face, and you know, that I hope that that happens around the country and around the world. And I believe that. I stand by that. I think that you know, the situation here in Trenton. Trenton is a very impoverished city. You know, there is a real need across this country and around the world for people to stand up to bullies and whoever is oppressing them, whatever is oppressing them. And you know, Chris Christie is like a very living, breathing demonstration of what a bully is. But you know, when you really think about it, we're victimized by bullies all the time, who in the form of giant corporations and big banks and Wall Street traders. It's you know, those people are big, powerful people picking on the little guy and stealing our lunch money. And you know, it's when people start thinking about it that way, and they realize that you know, they're being in some ways infantilized by these people, they're being made into victims. I think more and more people will stand up, and if we can have a part, if we can help to change the narrative around Chris Christie and increase the pressure on him, and you know, maybe he won't resign, but there's going to be a lot more public pressure for an investigation. As of today, it appears the U.S. attorney is investigating him for the Don Zimmer allegations, and you know, I'm not sure what the result is going to be for Occupy, whether this is going to result in any kind of resurgence for Occupy. My gut is no, it's not. I really, as committed as I've been to Occupy and Occupy causes for the last 2 years, in my heart of hearts, I feel like Occupy's moment has passed largely, and occupying is a tactic that existed long before the Occupy movement. Right. And, you know, so in a way, Occupy has become something of a brand. It's a way to get more attention for some things. But, you know, I think that they're Occupy, then the network of people who still identify with Occupy, that network is going to be a major part, probably, of the next big social movement in the country. I don't know what's going to be the catalyst. I don't know when it's going to happen or what it's going to look like, but, you know, history tells us that it's going to happen again. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to win, and that we'll really be able to bring about broad-based social change, revolutionary change. Yeah, it's been a really amazing experience. I wouldn't do anything differently, although maybe I would have thought about camping out in Trenton in front of the State House a little bit earlier. But, you know, this seems to be the perfect storm. This scandal with the mayor came out the day that we set up our camp, and we couldn't have asked for better timing, so... I have no idea where this is going to go, but I'm optimistic that it's going to take us in some better directions.
All right, great. Thanks, Nate, for taking the time to speak with me. And Nate Kleiman is out there right now in front of, what building is that in Trenton? I was just there, I should know, but I forgot.
that's the State House, the Capitol building.
Yeah, we're out there in front of the World War II Memorial Building, and hopefully...
140 West State Street.
Yep. So if you're in the area, definitely get out there and go show some support. And they're going to be there for the next 2 days. So, Nate, keep warm out there. And, you know, I just wish you the best, because, I support this. A lot of people support this. And I know there's many people who wish they could be there in person but can't. But if people want to support in any kind of financial way or send donations or something, is there a website or something they should visit?
Yeah, they should visit OccupySandy.net, and you can get all the information there on our website, OccupySandy.net.
Okay, cool. All right, man. Well, thanks for doing this, and keep warm
no
out there.
No problem.
Keep warm out there.
Took me 22 years to trust myself. Too many people told me to be somebody else. They said there's two things you gotta do to succeed. One, forget about you and listen to me. But on the 20th day of December this year, what I needed to do became ever clear. I got drunk and I cried and I fell asleep. When I woke up, I knew who I needed to be. Took off my shoes and my socks and I ran through the snow. To the center of town I left long ago. Frostbite on my ankles and I don't care. Got some shit on my mind that I wanna share.
I'm running around, I'm running around. I know where I'm going cause I know where I've been. Running around my town,
make a Euro pop song. Do whatever I say. In the streets, get along. You should make your cover song. You should make your cadence song. You should pull your titties out. Then I'll put your record out.